the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Pachachami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and again may it be so. Dharmam, Saranam, Pachachami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gashami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dear God, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that thinks for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassion and mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these ten great prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma. And I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Yukyampi, Tatyampi, Saha. Again and again and may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. Or even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity. And the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. And ending suffering is more important than anything. We will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
Shall I look at this morning?
Well, I'll start us off. I'm experiencing a real fun time in meditation right now these days. And this is sort of a continuation on a conversation from Thursday about the just sort of as a framework, what I was talking about and what I've since been looking at is how is the standard or the control mechanism in place in sitting and meditation that is not in place out in activity, making the activity much more fun and the meditation not so much? And
just a second, Rebecca, can you all hear down there?
And there's just been the lid blown off of the control since just that one simple guidance, you know, place to look here, you know. And so I'll just kind of rattle off some of the insights if I may.
Yeah, and I'm just to touch up, make sure I'm with you. So what a lot of fun when the standard gets blown off. And just that one little, you know, you bringing it up, getting the guidance, pointing at is there a standard, some kind of standard structure that happens that's put upon the person who's in meditation that's not happening during activity.
Yes.
And so since looking at that, I mean, that was just Thursday, right? There just sounds like there's a lot of insight.
Yeah, it was just Thursday, but that's a lot of meditation sessions.
That's true. Right? Yeah. It sounds like you've been right there practicing.
Thank you for that, yeah. So one is that it's so much like, I got this image of a parent who says, stay right here, to their kids. Stay right here, stay right here.
That's stern.
Yes.
Snapping their fingers.
Yeah. And what an unfun parent that is, but the parent but who feels like, oh, I'm totally adequate to watch this child as she explores the world. And so she gets to toddle here, or go over there, or climb that tree, or do this, or whatever. And as the adequate grown up, I know we're all fine. I don't need that, you know,
right,
quote, safety.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean anything contrary to what this very under the radar belief had been, that to have attention with me means, and not wandering off in conditioned mind means, stay right here. Like that.
Right. And so the snapping stay right here is what the voices are doing to us. And seeing in that spirit of inquiry, seeing, actually, I don't think that's necessary.
Yeah.
That there's an adequacy that an adult that can allow her to kind of wander around that kind of strict watching, and she's not necessary.
Well, exactly. And that brings me to another insight, which is it was a total case of mistaken identity, ego impersonating the awareness or the human or whatever, authenticity. Because what I got in one of the sits was, that's not me. I can, let's see how to say it. Like, that's not me that attention is staying with in that process. That's not me. That's totally an identity.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, because only then would we be listening to that, because we believe in that identified place that I need that. That's going to help me be a good meditator.
Yeah.
But when you disidentify, it's so clear. That's not required. I don't need that at all.
Well, and if I'm going to identify with anything, identify with the big expanse of awareness that the space for which, and I don't know yet who all the players. I don't know who to call what or anything, but because that's just another place to explore. But for right now, what it's like to let attention just play in the larger field of awareness. If I am anything, it's that.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you're anything, you're this large awareness that can just allow the attention to play.
Uh-huh.
And I love just the way you're talking about it, too. Like, I'm not sure who all the players are, but for now, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, what an opening, what a flexibility to see what else. I mean, this is an unfolding in the way you talk about it.
Yes. Yeah. And another insight that I had was about how, you know, what is that syndrome where someone is kidnapped and then they, once they can get away, they don't?
Oh, yeah.
There's some name for it.
Yeah, the prisoner guard, the Stockholm syndrome.
What is Stockholm.
Yes, yeah, Stockholm syndrome, yes. Well, I could so see how that happens. I could so see how that happens. Because in a way, that's exactly what had been happening with that. You know, stay right here. Because, and then, okay, I'm here. And then the attention would wander off, come back, and I'd be back here, like the good, like, I don't know, it's not exactly like being a good little girl or anything, but there's something that believed that was the higher self or something, you know. I don't know how it happens, but I could see how it happens. I couldn't explain it, but I've had the experience now. I can so see that.
How ego enlists us to protect it, and it's a strength.
Yeah, that's a great way to say it. It enlists us to protect it,
yeah.
Thereby just leaving, just utterly leaving the person. Because we've been so enlisted.
Yeah, we're so enlisted, and it just seems, I don't know how you say it, like, it's not quite a good person, but it just seems, that's the higher self for it. It just seems like the right thing to do. But as you say, the actual experience is being left.
Yeah, and so that we don't leave that story on that chapter, and the good news is that it didn't, it, there, life was always rescuing. Life is always I don't know, tapping or calling or what have we been talking about? Seeking us out. What's the word that we've been using?
Being sought.
Yeah, being sought. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of love that.
Yeah.
Right. So kind of it feels like we just get to experience it all, and then we get to experience that it's all happening, I don't know what you're saying, in that larger, much larger place. And that experience of just being tapped, being guided that whole time.
And I've gotten some insights about a project that has sort of been on hold. Well, just all kinds of things about life. They just kind of are coming in.
Uh-huh.
And I used to think, when I had this sort of mistaken identity going on, that, okay, that, I need to note that, but can't note it now because I'm in meditation. And so I would say, well, thank you, would you remind me when I'm off the cushion? And then I would think I had to be the me that's going to come into later when I'm with a pen and paper, and then, but it's more like, if that's who I am, but if that's what is, let's see, it's just, I don't know how to say it, but it's like, there's just no pressure. Like,
yes.
It's not that in this moment in time, it came at the right time. Can you do it in this moment in time? Yeah, that's not it. And, you know, I'm saying that it's more just like, whatever moment in time, is what there it is, and it's all perfect.
Yeah.
Boy, does that sound really, I think, bizarre, you know, but...
Well, it's fun to listen back, because, yeah. I mean, you just laid it out pretty simply.
Oh, good,
to me, yeah. So, again, I just love it, that whole spirit of inquiry, just as you started out with,
uh-huh.
just starting to look, all these bamboozles, all these identifications start to get unveiled.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's another one, right?
Yeah.
So just sitting in meditation, and things are just, you know, coming in, and the process you got to see was... Okay, I'm going to note that. Or can you remind me later? And then there's going to be an implied in that, that there's going to be somebody later who's going to receive that and then write it down.
Uh-huh.
And just seeing, that doesn't seem to be the process.
Yeah.
And in that place, I just imagine just letting it go.
Yeah.
Pressure.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. And then one last thing, because I bet I'm going on a lot here, but one last thing. The point was made on Thursday about if the kitchen door opens a quarter of an inch,
yes,
you know it, in this sort of whatever Japanese word for meditation, that kind of thing. And that speaks to what I was just talking about. So this drops in, let's see, there was a sense of, how would I know it? That was sort of the question. How would I know it? That I've been walking around the property with, you know, lately. How would that work? And what it, and I don't know at all if this is it, because but what it's seeming like now is in that same way that those insights drop in and I just see it. You just see it. Maybe it would be a better word than you know it. You just see it.
Mm-hmm.
And
are you saying, how would I know it back to, how would I know it if that came back around? Is that what you're saying?
Like, if I'm sitting in meditation and the door opens in the kitchen off the back porch a quarter of an inch, how would I know that?
Uh-huh.
How would that even be possible? If there's no senses on it, there's no way to detect it through the sense. And so what I'm saying is maybe I would just see it in the field of awareness
yeah.
in the same way I was just describing these insights
yeah.
that are dropping in that
yeah.
don't seem to be, you know, time to see them, but maybe who are they are? They're there, you know? Like
well,
that.
But again, what a fun process.
Yeah.
Because you hear something from the guide and about, you know, that place of being in the meditation hall, all the way down to the meditation hall, all the way to the dining hall in the kitchen, you would hear the kitchen door open.
You wouldn't hear it.
You wouldn't hear it.
That's right.
You would be aware of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
So that leads to, well, how?
Yeah.
How? Yeah. There's that spirit of inquiry again. And then, like, I don't know, I think it would just, I don't know, maybe I would just see it.
Yeah.
I would see it just like that other place, right? Just, and then there's that place again. And
yeah.
Like, I don't know, but now there's another place to look.
Which is the very best part of all of it.
Yeah.
It's
well,
being
yeah.
in that place.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, well, you started off saying how fun.
Yeah.
And it is the very best place, being in that place.
Uh-huh.
And things just coming in. And us, I mean, the way you're talking about it, just right here.
Yeah.
Right on the edge. You know, just right there for anything that life's offering about
yeah.
this spirit of inquiry.
And it just makes meditation so much more like another activity in monastic life that I show up to. Like if I were had been, I mean, it's not like I was never willing or I didn't want to meditate or anything. It wasn't anything like that at all. That's why I can so relate to the Stockholm Syndrome. It's like, well, this is just my life. I just do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to get that, oh, I haven't been having the same joy of meditation as I had with reading. And what's up with that? And
yeah.
and just having that whole process of the transformation of the tapping or the whatever happened, that is the best part. It's just
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's just it's really enlivens life in a really big way. At least an hour and a half every day is much more you know, and enlivens. And so
yeah, just applying that guidance to your meditation,
mm-hmm.
and just out of that place of like, yeah, it's fine, because you know, all of a sudden it didn't happen.
Yes.
Yeah. fun.
Thank you very much.
Jen.
Gosh, I don't even know. That's just, yeah, one person's sake. Just love that conversation. Wow.
Yeah.
The piece, especially that I was just looking at, is that, is the volume okay?
I was just checking, looking out, excuse me, sharing with me
here. Thank you. Because I was just seeing it in another context. This book was referring to, I mean, it was talking about it slightly differently, but basically that thing of how, you know, 99.99% of what's going on, say, with me, if you can even say that, I don't even know about it. You know, I mean, again, back to the liver and the stomach and the cells and the heart and the, and really also most of what goes on equals the mind. You know, I mean, all these terms get, I'm with Rebecca, I definitely don't have it all sorted out. But just that place of, and yet, what I identify as, quote, me, is this tiny percent of somehow the things that I think I'm doing, and I'm choosing, and I'm thinking, and I'm...
And then they just get that picture of the big whiteboard.
Uh-huh.
And then there's that little dot
that's
the eye, and we just collapse all the, you know, we're trained to collapse all the attention on that, and the other 99%, we're not even aware of. There's just all these miracles going on in the body.
Yeah.
I mean, but what is unawareness?
Yeah, well, and I was watching that in that conversation, just going to that place. And it feels like it's a place of, it's both a very relaxed place, but in some, okay, so the image that just, I was going to say, very relaxed and also focused in the sense of, I always love that description of sword master training, where the students, this is what I understand of it, that, you know, so the student is being trained, and the teacher is constantly jumping out from nowhere and, you know, attacking the student, right?
Yeah, with the sword.
With the sword. And so the student's completely paranoid and on edge, like, you know, I know it's going to be from the left this time, right? And then, of course, it never is. And one of the things that strikes me so much about that is that, hopefully, eventually, the student gets to this place of being so relaxed and so right here that it feels like the thing that happens in that sort of paranoid, I'm a me looking out for, seeing I'm doing sword training, is that what happens in that is that wherever the sword comes from, the first thing I'm required to do is to back up from where I've been and then make the movement to see where the sword is coming from. But in that place of relaxed, just presence, you're not backing out of anywhere. You're just here. So wherever that, I mean, that's what I hear in the quarter of an inch, the door. It's like, I mean, I try to think of examples because I know it happens all day, every day, where I realize, wow, I didn't even realize that I registered that, but I registered something. You know, walk past, you know, I'm walking, and then it's sweet. And I walk back 10 steps and realize there's this thing out of place. And so awareness is registering, 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 right? But attention is trying to go, trying to keep up with it, and it's impossible. Completely impossible. So if sort of I'm identified with attention, I'm completely overwhelmed.
Well, yeah. Like, I think we can all relate to that. There's that, when we get a sense of awareness, how big that is. And that was a good example. We're walking, and we go by something, and something's not registered.
Yeah.
And we sense that it wasn't, our attention wasn't directly on it.
Right.
So it's like, and then we start to go, gosh, that's going on all the time, and our attention is going, you know.
Yeah.
And if we're identified with that rapid movement back and forth, it's overwhelming and miserable.
Yeah. And I've got to do this, 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 I've got to do this. But in that place, again, like what's being talked about, the thing drops in, right? And I'm in meditation. And then I know that played so well too. Of like, thank you, it's great. You know, tell me later. And then later, like, what was that thing? But that place of just complete trust that it's all right. You know, and so there was a quote card the other day in the dining hall, one of Sherry's quote cards that said something like, what we're afraid of is that the compassion and unconditional love that we need won't be there when we need it. Mm-hmm. And I just saw how when we get it, that it's always there, then in a funny kind of way, all those little tiny details like that, gotta remember that detail. No, I don't. Because if I really do, I will. And if something happens and I forget something, I don't have to be afraid of what's going to happen because I know that unconditional love, that acceptance, that compassion is what is.
Yeah.
So there's a way in which, to me, that is the place that I can relax into in order to have the trust to not have to be on guard for where that darn sword is going to come from, which allows me to actually be available for where the sword does come from.
Well, I mean, just that place, when you were talking, describing that place that we get afraid, we identify with fear, that unconditional love and compassion won't be there when you need it. And then we practice, and we find out it was there. And once we really get that, that is so relaxing.
Yeah.
Because in that place, we see we're going to be taken care of. And so there's no need to, what would almost feel like a survival place, right?
Yeah.
I just got to have this, remember that, and keep track of that, and then everything will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
We see that's not necessary. And from that very relaxed, just being here place, boy, I mean, everything we need is available. If I need that detail, we just trust that it'll come.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, life will maybe show up in another form, and we have this.
Right.
But tensing up or trying really hard or doing all those things doesn't seem to work as well.
Yeah.
Now I have to back up, and now it's too late. The sword's already.
Because that, what I saw when you said that was that detail will show up in another way, and it may be through someone else, which isn't different than me.
Exactly.
You know, only in that illusion of the separation do I have to be the one to remember it.
Right, well, that's just such a trap with that egocentricity. I've just got to hold all these things and collect all these things and it's up to me. Right, when we get into that relaxed place, we just see this is all one thing, the nodes of intelligence.
Yeah.
So we're all working together, which we can see and allow when we're practicing that kind of like the letting go and trusting that process that you've had, that experience you've had of, oh, awareness is collecting and informing. All the time.
You know, one last piece of it, I feel like that I really saw when you were reflecting it back, that feels so big, is something I saw doing the HAL workbook yesterday, that you said something like, and we proved to ourselves that the unconditional love and the compassion is there. And that feels like what's so powerful about going through what's going on for us instead of getting around it or surviving it in some way. So doing something like a two-handed recording, because if I, quote, survive it, what I never get to see is the unconditional love and compassion was there. It was there. I just didn't get to experience it. I don't even know how you say it. I just didn't realize it. It's sort of Dogen's thing.
Yeah.
You know, why does it sit if we're already enlightened? Well, because we don't realize it.
Yeah.
And so it feels like that's why it's so critical to go through what's going on with us, so that we can have that experience, that the unconditional love and compassion was there the whole time, that's what's available to us when we go through it instead of trying to get around it.
Wow, that is big, isn't it, really, to get that, when we're in that kind of more survival or trying to get around it, we know what we're referencing.
Yeah.
We're referencing the survival system, so as long as our attention is there, we really can receive what is there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And when we get that point, that's not going to get me what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the fact of doing it, stomach ache, my shoulder hurt, and I'm really miserable.
And I might have quote survived it.
Yeah.
But of course, the subtitle is, but it's coming again.
It's coming again, and get ready. Then you did that, and you need to do that again.
Exactly. And maybe try harder the next
time. Maybe try harder
the
next time.
And keep it from happening.
Yeah. But the alternative, and this is exactly what we have in practice, is to go right through it.
Yeah.
You know, so we get out, and gosh, we're so blessed to have these tools.
Oh,
my
God.
You know, it's a perfect one, a two-handed recording.
Yeah.
You know, we just turn that on, and we go through those steps. And through those steps, and through that, whatever that is, we get to receive in that process what I think we're always, you know, looking for, that unconditional love and acceptance. But, we have to do that to prove it to ourselves that that's actually what's there when we stop doing anything else and let go of that.
Yeah. And I got to have an experience of that right now, putting up my hand. All I knew was I appreciated that conversation.
Uh-huh.
That's all I knew. And that I wanted to participate.
Uh-huh.
That was it.
You didn't have to, like, have it all rehearsed and what you're going to say.
Right.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah, yeah. Just, I don't know, it seems like just put the hand up and there we are. Go ahead.
That was really helpful. A number of things. When the group began, I was looking at that question that was brought up a couple groups ago. If your hands don't go up, you know, what's going on?
Uh-huh.
And I saw a bit of that, trying to figure out, you know, checking with you know who to see what I had to say and how to say it.
Just the old habit that we
Yeah.
Know. Pretty much everyone does.
Exactly. And so I don't know where it's going, but there were two things. Just to report back on the group last Thursday. One of the things I talked about in the group is I have not been making reminders of things that are important for me to do to care for my, you know.
Yeah.
And so I got some guidance about that, and I went home, and I was great because, you know, immediately as soon as I sat down, there were all these things that I wanted to do that were not, like, out there visible, and I had been kind of, you know, I know they were just running around in the background, you know, but not getting any attention. So there they were, boom, 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 you know. And I wrote them all down in colorful ink and, you know. And so then it's like, okay, so knowing my karma, I've got this piece of paper. It's going to get lost. It's just the way it goes. It's like, you know, that was nice. We're not, you know. So I always loved letting life choose, you know, so I kept that piece of paper because I also know I needed some place to remind me that it once upon a time I had this whole
list.
Right. And so then I made a bunch of little slips and I put them in a container to carry with me, and then whenever there's a moment I can just reach in and pull out a slip and see what life is inviting me to do.
Wow.
It was so much fun.
I was going
to
say.
I did most of my whole list the first day.
So much, so much fun. That's exactly what you were saying. That I'm like, oh, I want to do that. Yeah. I mean, what a transformation.
Yeah.
Here it is in the background where it doesn't really get any attention except for, I'm guessing, why haven't you done that yet? You should do that. And then, again, just that place of putting hands up, saying things out loud, getting the guidance, and then practicing with the guidance. Why want to do that?
Yeah.
You know, and taking that time and writing things out. And I love that place too, just such a benefit of getting to know ourselves or then getting to know the karma, right? And just like, well, I just know that that's typically what happens. So let's say, and then it just unfolds to another thing. Well, how about I love pulling things out. And so, but let's not lose the original list. I'll put that up too. And then you're just carrying it around, and when you have time, you just pull out the strips.
Yeah. It's really fun. And So then there's the second part. The other thing that we talked about in group is coming to and asking for support. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, that was, I don't know, that was just a huge revelation for me.
Yeah.
It just, it's great. But, you know, to just come to group and every time looking, what is it that I need support with right now? Mm-hmm. And asking mm-hmm. for that support. It's like, wow.
Yeah, wow. What, I mean, what a kindness.
What a kindness. Yeah. And that's what's available.
Yeah,
you know, and I know I've been in this habit of like, well, okay, so what works? You know, what can I talk about that, you know, to prove that I'm doing good practice, you know, instead of looking at what it is that needs support right now. Uh-huh. And, and so, and I feel like that somehow goes back to this, just that previous conversation about the unconditional love that's always available.
Always available. And proving it to yourself.
Yeah, and yeah. that's the proof, and that's the proving of it. To just, because it can get, yeah, that path can get lost.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. It's so great, too, and you just get it to the steps of how to prove it to ourselves again. So we know this, like, there's some suffering going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, I'm gonna put my hands up.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know we're trying to get us to not put our hands
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a shift of attention right there.
Yeah.
Similar to what we're about to do. A big couple of days between Thursday and now, that you take in that guidance and we put it right into practice.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of unveils more things. Like, well, I'm also going to try in that place of asking for support,
mm-hmm.
which highlights that typically it's something about what can I say that sounds like I'm really doing practice.
Yeah.
And then, but then again, so you're asking for support, you're saying what's going on for you, and you receive, it sounds like, that unconditional love and kindness. That's what's
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love the metaphor. I'm using my hands up.
Mm-hmm.
It's really that easy, isn't it? It would make it seem like it goes through all these things,
yeah.
and then we'll get the love. But it's
easy
to put your hands up.
Yeah, I just love that, of just turning to face whatever it is.
Yes, turning to face whatever it is.
Instead of the, you know.
Yeah.
Instead of
letting it play
back there, and also, yeah, never receiving what's just on the other side of whatever it is.
Yes.
Well, that's
big, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That all this playing back here is mm-hmm. just the veil, is mm-hmm. the thing that's keeping us from. And when we just turn to it,
mm-hmm.
you know, here it is, what the practice is describing, we can just go right through it and experience all the benefits of the thing that are just on the other side.
Yeah. So, and I'll need to keep checking back in, but so I also know what happens is there's always. Kind of the way I cook, it's like, okay, wow, that's a great recipe, now let's do something else. It's like, you know, there's just always a ongoing, so
yeah,
that's great, keeping those reminders. So now,
got that card,
now, you know, now we'll go on to the next thing, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
And so what I hear you saying about that is you want to stick with the process.
I want to stick with the process,
yeah. Participating, turning to life through guidance and asking for support and following through with things that you want to do,
yeah.
knowing what supports her, giving her all those things that she needs, making it fun.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. So I just imagine you're going to keep doing it and
keep working. Yeah.
Because I love that too, which is, okay, well, I just want to keep an eye on it. I know there's this tendency to go, okay, I mean, for all of us, right? Don't look here anymore, you know, you're getting too much life energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so you know that, you're saying it out loud, almost kind of giving yourself a little
mm-hmm.
support right there,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And you just keep checking in on it.
Checking in on that, and just, yeah, just that, it feels like just the process of staying with,
mm-hmm.
and,
yeah.
and not abandoning.
Yeah, not abandoning.
Yeah.
The process of staying with. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just just keep checking into that.
Yes, that's the practice. That's the practice that supports you to stay with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you have anything
When I was sitting, I had this like meta moment where I became aware of a conversation. The conversation was planning what I was going to share. And what I was going to share was that I had difficulty with always planning. just aware enough to even sit. I was just aware enough to like get a chuckle out of it.
Back in your second of the scenario, reflexive, you can hear down there.
Sure.
So in the meditation, you were aware that there was this conversation going on about kind of planning, like what you were going to say and through.
Yeah, and in that conversation, I was sharing how I always struggle with planning.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And there's that meta process.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just aware enough that I got a big chuckle out. I was like, oh, and here I am.
Yeah. And that's so fun. And yeah. Chuckle.
So, no, it's been really good to just hear and be present and to keep practicing, stepping out of the planning. And I think when I do that, I just, you know, I try to not make, create expectations of what my experience here would be like.
Yeah, you try not to create expectations of what your experience would be like.
Yeah, like in the months leading up to it.
Yeah, so there's probably some trying to get you in conversations about that.
Oh, yeah.
How would it be?
Yeah, and I just, I was able to just kind of step out of those, and people would ask me about it, and I'd say, well, you know, here's what I've kind of experienced in this practice and on retreat, but I don't really know what will be there for me. I just feel like there's something there.
And that's kind of a part of letting go of the planning. So people ask you, and you would just say, well, I don't really know. Here's kind of been my experience so far, but I don't really know.
Yeah, so what I am realizing is that there were some expectations or something, and whatever they were, I'm not sure that I'm like living in those expectations, you know. And
there were some expectations that got kind of revealed, and it seems like whatever they were, you're not really living in them.
Yeah, there's just like more suffering going on than I thought there would be, and I think, like, I've been looking, I appreciate the idea of, like, going through it rather than going around it. I think that, like, the nice thing about going around it is that I have lots of experience with that.
Yeah, I think we all do that.
I know how to do that.
Yeah, we know how to do that, to try to go around.
Yeah, to create distraction or whatever, yeah. To try to not have to feel it or be with it or whatever. And so, you know, there, I think part of like the planning, and I just noticed it's, you know, that like things our mind often does, but I noticed that like there doesn't seem to rationally be a really scary thing to be here. What is so afraid of just taking this?
So it sounds like there's some sort of experience of fear, and that there's something you should be afraid of here. But when you check in, it's like, well, what is that? What is it? What is it that I'm supposed to be afraid of? And sensing that whatever that is keeping you from really just taking in everything that's here.
Yeah, and it's like that's kind of like the logical, that there's like a mind aspect of that, there's nothing to be afraid of. Because when I'm actually here, sometimes I get the experience of unconditional. And sometimes what I get is I'm really afraid. You know, I am suffering. And when I'm actually here, then I'm present to it. And I think that going through it, I don't know how to get out when I'm here. You know, there's some of it that I believe that there is, like, I am choosing something. But when I'm in it, and much of my experience here is being in it, I don't know what to choose. I don't know how to, you know, I'll look at, like, okay, my breath or practice gratitude. And sometimes that really helps and it opens me up. I don't know. There's just this, like, underlying sense of dread or fear. I'm not sure where it's coming from. Yeah, or there's like voices that I'm not present to or something.
Yeah, it's just this sense of underlying dread and fear, and it's still not quite clear what that is. And when you're kind of identified with it, sometimes you're just not really sure, you know, what to do with it. You kind of practice the gratitude or the breath or that kind of thing. But if you have your sense that I'm not quite seeing what I'm identified with quite yet.
Yeah.
And so then if you recognize that there's some suffering going on.
Yeah.
But if, you know, you started off saying, I really appreciate that going through rather than around.
Yeah.
Because that seems like you're resonating with that, and that's kind of that hint of, well, how might I practice with that?
Yeah.
Kind of like what you're saying, like, well, what is it?
Yeah, and I suppose it's just a space for recording.
Yeah.
You know, I've been, my 30 days of whatever, doing something.
Making a change for good.
Yes, yeah. Making a change for good. After our discussion that afternoon, I realized what my real practice was to be, which was to have a conversation with one of my little guys.
Mm-hmm.
Each evening. So each night I do a conversation with this little Matt personality, because he is sad most of the time. Not always. Sometimes he gets out. And there's just like this degree of sorrow and sadness that I keep just like, it's just unconditional love and acceptance of wherever he's at. Mm-hmm. And I love him right where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish for him, he didn't always have to be it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But I don't know mm-hmm. what would happen, step out of it and see the joy and the wonderful things that I feel for him.
So what came in then is to check in with these kind of aspects of the personality, these younger aspects. And you notice that somebody there often is something that feels sad a lot. And sometimes, not always, you know, and just wondering, just seeing that's going on quite a bit. It seems like that place too, when you were talking about the fear, I feel afraid. Seems like a good right hand portion to kind of let them talk about, what is it? What is it? I'm afraid of...
Well,
you know, so there's...
Yeah, I mean, like, with the little guy, he's afraid because something was really mean to him.
Mm-hmm.
At some point. And I don't really know, like, consciously what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, like, a fear of that, the meanness, the, like, sudden meanness towards him. So I've been looking at, like, I can understand how to not take things personally. I can get, like, oh, this is a projection, this isn't about me, whatever. You know, for him, I think it's really, really hard for him to forget that the ways he was treated don't mean anything about him.
You know, getting the ways that he was treated doesn't mean anything about him. And I'm just curious, when you go through the steps, is there a place where he gets to be reassured? Is he able to take that in? Or does it feel like no matter kind of what's being said, he's still kind of in that place?
Yeah, you know, our work last summer really helped with that, because there was definitely some things that I see, like, oh, he loves the idea of adventure. So when we're on an adventure together, that, like, takes him out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, telling the voices to take a hike makes him, like, giggle.
Mm-hmm.
Or watering the plant, discovered that he loves to see plants grow.
Yeah.
And that watering flowers makes him really happy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which I didn't know until a couple of days.
You didn't know. Yeah, that's that exploration.
So I practice, part of my commitment is to have a conversation and then to make a recording each day for him. Of reinsurances, I started singing. I'm just making up little songs about how I love him and how great he is. Yeah, he likes that.
He likes that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm getting to find out what he likes.
Yeah.
Being that song, and he loves adventures, and he loves wandering planets, and everything like that. Yeah. And part of the reason I was asking that before, and you shared with me at some point, but just that place where, at least from my experience, is there's something that I'm listening to, and they won't be reassured, and they just continue to stay stuck, then I'm always a little bit suspicious that maybe that's not a part of me, that's ego masquerading as well. Because those aspects of ourselves, they want to be embraced.
Yeah.
They don't want to continue to be sad or upset. They want to be taken care of, and we love hearing those songs, and love being in the garden, and that kind of thing, when we're with them.
Yeah.
So that, to me, it's also a really helpful thing of continuing to do that two-handed exercise, because it reveals so much. Exactly the way you're describing it.
Yeah.
And just what you're doing right now, putting your hands up, like, oh, that's helpful, going through rather than, you know, just taking all of that in and practicing with it.
So, the last time about putting my hands up, I mean, a few minutes ago, I was hearing a familiar story that of comparison and starting to tell me, turn into conditioning to ask how my practice was going. So, I saw it and I could feel it. It was like, oh no, you know, my practice is going fine.
I don't need to go and
stop.
Yeah, I don't need to ask.
Yeah. That's great. So it was a comparison bamboozle at that time. And so that was great to see. And also, what I've been looking at is how to see. The pushing and thing I was talking about in group, but also
that kind of karmic tendency to be pushed.
Right, and it was great because what came was for the last couple of months I've been looking at other karmic tendencies that come into my body, but they were really different. They were like, you know, the heavy sadness or something. And so I practiced with being able to welcome and say, okay, you know, that's in some way to see them without pushing them away, without going around them. I don't like this, I don't want to feel like this, I won't be able to perform properly and be the right person if this happens.
So the karmic tendencies, the way they're registering, can be something you're noticing in the body. And it can be a heaviness. And so in the past, it kind of has been, oh no, you know, I won't be able to perform. And instead, practicing is just like, okay, noticing that.
And that's, you know, can instantly be a kind of a miracle.
That is a miracle.
It is definitely a miracle.
I mean, that's
true.
It
is.
From, I don't love this here, you're going to mess up what I need to do, to just, you know, noticing, just allowing. And it's like, there's a smile.
Yeah, especially when you can feel it.
When you can feel
in
it.
Body. But then if I check in, it's like, oh, no, don't check in about it. But
that is such a good clue about where we are, right? So here comes the heaviness, and we're identified with not wanting it. The body's like this. And then there's the place that you just described really well, just that noticing and being here, and you can really feel the relaxation and the opening and the smiling.
That I'm here.
I'm here.
You know, and that's, what was it? That it's always here. It's always, unconditional love is here.
I remember. Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm going to find that to also the push and the planning and the move faster. And it's kind of the same thing. A totally different, you know, I would label it a totally different emotion, but it's the same thing. It's get it right, clear, you know, yeah. something's going to happen bad if I don't do this now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I've found enough separation to, and in my body, instead of the other one's here, and this one's more here, but it's tightness.
Yeah.
And so to be able to be able to see it,
yeah.
and to realize, you know, that this is, it happens. It's human, it happens.
It happens.
And I don't have to take it personally.
You don't have to take it personally. You don't have to, sometimes you don't have to do anything with it.
Yeah.
But a relief, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just right back to that place you're saying. I'm reminded. Here's the love and acceptance. I don't have to do anything with this. Just exactly what you're doing. Just, I mean, paying a lot of attention. That fear kind of has all these different talking about different emotions, but it's kind of the same. You know, sometimes it's tense in the chest, and sometimes it's tense in the back. But it's that same place, right?
Yeah,
but it's that same process of just noticing that seems to be the process of relaxing and receiving what we're reminded of is always here, which is that acceptance and care, and just completely fine, Eleanor. You're doing great. Or however you know you did it yourself.
And life has helped prove that to me also. It's like, oh no, I didn't do that. And then I'm like, oh, okay, that's okay. So it got done. It wasn't like,
oh my gosh, the world didn't collapse. It mm-hmm. got done. Yeah, and we get to see that.
Yeah, and instead of getting a beating for that, it was
yeah.
like, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, thank yeah. you for seeing that.
Mm. Yeah, there's that interruption again, huh?
Yeah.
Right? That looking. Yeah. And then you just see, oh, it's fine. It got done.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Wow.
Yeah, and then we have that distance of, wow.
Yeah, and I just was now feeling stuck on the
You were seeing?
I was feeling very thankful for that. What was it you said? That it comes in, that it just shows up. That everything's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just again, it just shows up. It's kind of what Rebecca started this with, right? When we just relax a little bit, right? Here it comes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then we're reminded.
Be with it.
It's completely fine. Susan.
So I wasn't here for the guidance to put your hands up. But I've really been looking a lot in the last 6 months at resistance to doing that and put myself in the queue and the sort of loss of identity about who I've always believed I was as a monk. I'm somebody who shares. I'm somebody who talks easily. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm looking up. So when people were talking, I was aware that that got co-opted at some time. Who knows? You know, some belief about sharing that I wasn't really aware of, and that in the last little bit, there's a lot of it is. It's not the old fear and anxiety that I'm sort of used to watching. It's more. It's not fog, but it's sort of like referring to the old thing that used to be there to refer to is not the practice anymore. So I'm not as I'm not looking there for information, being like kind of the head, kind of that analysis that's mm-hmm. going on. And so that movement of going up here to look at what I'm going to say or what I'm going to, that is not happening as much just in general, you know, because I'm doing all these, you know, the how and then the year before, you know, so that's sort of gotten, I don't know if this is true, but it feels like that's gotten kind of busted.
Yeah, that resistance has gotten busted from what I hear by participating.
Right, just by sitting here on the cushion and doing the page or,
yeah.
you know, listening to the show.
Yeah, we don't even have to analyze anything.
Right.
We just show up.
Just sort of just, so then now there's kind of this, I don't know. I don't even know how to. I feel it not only in sharing in group or in getting into the queue, but there's kind of a these sensations that are like energy, not too much energy, not too little, but don't know where to, like ego wants to take that and reference something.
Wants to attach
the
old
thing. And then there's just, it's not sort of used to just, I don't know, I don't feel used to just looking at the same time as talking.
So it's not the same anxiety or fear kind of thing. It's more of like a fog, and the fog experience that I'm with you is there's this kind of, you're just aware of the energy, and it's kind of, you're moving your hands, kind of shaking a little bit, and it's trying to, it sounds like what you're saying is it's trying to make some connection to the sensation and the old story.
I think that's right.
Is that what you said?
Well, yes, and but it's not because of all the things we've been doing.
Because that's not your experience. Is that
right? Yes.
Like it's trying to make...
Well, I don't know, actually.
Yeah. Well, that's that fun place we've been talking about. I don't know. Here's what I'm noticing.
Yeah, and then I noticed as I was sitting here that it started to try and come in and kind of make a story. But I just saw that now that we're talking.
Yeah.
But it had come up with another story.
Yeah, it's got to keep coming up with stories.
It's got to keep up. But I really think it's...
Because otherwise you're just talking without rehearsing and just, like, speaking.
Right. Right. And then there's the whole around the corners of it. I don't know, Howard Cosell or whatever, you know, that thing. Telling, you know, well, she can't make up a story now.
The commentator. About the story that it's making up.
But it's making up that. Yeah.
Oh, it's so fun to see, isn't it? I mean, here you are, obviously, here to participate, and it's just seeing all the ways it just tries to interfere. And you're seeing through that, and then it shows through something else, and you're seeing through that.
And as I'm seeing it, it's the other thing I noticed is it's actually such a relief to kind of live that way, because I'm also not getting as hooked out there. So in the same way, if I can't kind of get as hooked and talk to people in here yet, there is a out there not getting as hooked and a much more relaxation and true faith.
Much more relaxation.
Yeah, would be like, normally, I would be looking to this and really worried about that.
Well, that is the same deal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Looking to this is worry.
Yeah.
Is fear.
Yes.
Yeah, and you're not doing that as much. And you're seeing that here in the cube workshop that you're doing, and you're seeing that spreading to the rest of your life, that you're not as much in the head, and then you're more...
Yeah. And then we didn't do it. It just show up. You know, that's like the miracle of freedom. I don't know if I have one thing to say. Whoever's listening on that tape, just show up.
Yeah.
Just sit on the cushion, just sign up for a retreat, just be on the, you know.
Because
that's all we do, and then before we know it, we're not listening to the thing anymore.
We
tried for years to not listen.
Right, it's more of the, right?
Right, yeah, that is very much
don't listen to that.
Okay, don't listen to the weather. And you know, not that bad. Quite honestly, I think that kept me coming for a lot. So, you know, we're taking it out of the realm of right and wrong.
Yeah, it really does, like, anything like that shouldn't have happened. We can just throw that out there,
right,
too.
Right.
Yeah, because it's a mystery.
Yeah.
Like you said, I don't know, I just keep showing up. That's all we really need to do.
I really did, like, I'm going to go get me a jar. I like to buy my lips. I already have it made for the day. The monastery was on it. I think I care about the pull them out. I mean, that will make it more.
Yeah, we're back to the how, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have my lips. And I'm going to cut it up, put it in a jar, and pull it out and see what happens.
Yeah.
Thank you all.
Thank you.